I'm speaking with Bernard Golden, Chief Executive Officer of Hyperstratus at www.hyperstratus.com and the author of Virtualization for Dummies. You're going to be talking a little bit about cloud computing, and I'd like to start with asking you, are there any policy implications behind what data a person stores in the cloud?
Absolutely, there are. I would start off by saying that there are policy implications for data storage and the types of data you store and the rules and regulations and the ways you have to handle it for any kind of computing. There are a wide variety of policies, regulations, laws, and so forth that govern the storage of data. When you move to a cloud environment, it becomes more complex in that that data is being stored external to your organization as well as in typically some kind of a virtualized environment. So in other words, it's not located on a particular piece of hardware or a particular data storage device. It can move around, flexible. And so what that implies is, first off, many of the laws and regulations that are on the books were written at a time when computing didn't have this concept of virtualization, that you know, you'd say, oh, this data has to be stored on this device. And the laws are written with a view that there's some physical device that you can go look at. Well, that's clearly gone by the boards in general. And then the question of external storage complicates it because many of these laws impose different responsibilities on an organization depending on whether the data is stored at a local location that's under the organization's control or an external location. And in particular, you'll hear things like that the government can get access to data that's stored off-premise with an external hosting provider like a cloud provider in ways that the government couldn't if the data were stored locally. So they can put a subpoena or a warrant to an external party more easily than they can to you. And in fact, they can end up, under certain circumstances, looking at data on these externally stored things that you might not even become aware of, that the entire interaction would be between the government and that cloud provider, and you wouldn't even possibly be aware of it. So the cloud environment complicates the world of data storage that's already complicated. There's already lots and lots of privacy policies, security, and so forth that dominate the storage arrangements.
I'm just curious, are you, no matter what kind of contract you negotiate, are you giving up some rights?
You know, I don't know if I'd say give up some rights in that sort of way, but I would say that if you engage in a contractual negotiation, you know, these are things that you should be aware of. These would be true whether it's cloud computing or, let's just say, you're using an outsourced storage. In other words, outsourcing has a long history. People have EDS run their machines and their systems in EDS facilities. That's also a form of outsourcing, and that should be part of your conversation. The thing that could be a little bit unusual about cloud computing in that sense, beyond what I've just outlined, is that many of these cloud providers are, you know, kind of the context of cloud computing is that it's easy to get started. You know, with Amazon, for example, you can just use your Amazon account and start using their cloud computing facilities. So there really isn't any negotiation or any sit down and we're going to sign a contract and we're going to have a long review. It's really almost like those kind of click-through licenses that you sometimes have with software. And so there really isn't a negotiation and examination of the contractual responsibilities and so forth in these. And that can be a bit tricky because for many organizations, they're concerned that some fairly low-level person who doesn't even know what kinds of responsibilities the organization has in terms of privacy would agree to these conditions, start storing data out in the cloud, and there'd be no general awareness of it.
Related to that, what laws or regulations govern institutions that store data in the cloud?
The question is almost what laws and regulations don't, in the sense that they're a very large number.
Are there differences in laws? If Amazon's facilities are located in New York, for instance, and I'm in Boulder, is it Boulder laws that govern our data, or is it New York law?
Usually, the affected industry is sort of pushed to have a general national standard. But what I will say is that there can be very significant differences between nations, and that for sure is the case. And one of the examples that's brought up a lot around cloud computing is that Europe has much tighter privacy regulations, and in particular, within European privacy laws, data on European citizens cannot be stored outside of storage located within European boundaries. Mm-hmm. So you could not take private data around European private citizens and store it in Brazil. That's just against those privacy laws. So that's an example that's brought up a lot. The reason I hesitated when you asked the more general question about what privacy laws is that there's a wide panoply of privacy laws, and they all apply to cloud storage, as well as within data center storage. So there's a wide variety that you have to figure out what you should be doing around those laws that apply no matter what the circumstances are. And then there are certain nuances that are brought into play because the data is stored off-premise, off your local premise. And, for example, this question of the European privacy laws is brought up as one example. Another example that's brought up a lot is HIPAA, which is a U.S. health records privacy set of regulations. And those have very stringent requirements about how that data can be made available, how it needs to be stored, and so forth. That's a national law. That would not be a New York versus Boulder, Colorado law.
Right. What can one do to assess which systems can legally be moved to cloud environments?
As I implied, there are a wide variety of laws that already apply to companies, and they should already have processes in place to examine those things. So any kind of a system you build, you should be aware of what kinds of constraints and obligations you have under those. When you start to think about, well, are there systems that I can move to the cloud, obviously you need to expand your overview of these questions a bit more broadly and bring in the cloud computing. So you should have an initial step that says, let me examine what further obligations there might be on top of what my obligations already are, and then do an examination of what systems you've got or are going to be creating, and look at those that are going to be the least constrained by these further cloud nuances. And those would be the target ones that make sense to look at to move into a cloud environment.
If a university cloud sources their email to Google, who is responsible and what does one do when there's a breakdown on the privacy breach?
Let's say something breaks down and there's a privacy issue that comes into play. I would assert that the university is going to have primary responsibility to its users. It may be that Google will coordinate that information through the university and provide the information to the university. But my sense is that the university is going to have the responsibility of telling its students or staff this issue occurred. However, I'm not a privacy attorney, so you know I don't want anyone to sort of say, well, Bernard Golden said this, so we're okay. That would be foolish for me and foolish for that person. I suspect, though, that most of these agreements, and again, Google is pretty much analogous to Amazon in the sense that it's kind of a, so to speak, a click-through kind of agreement. It's not universally true by any means, but you would not necessarily sit down with Google and say, you know, let's go through the thing. So, for example, Hyperstratus uses Google as its email provider. We didn't sit down with Google and have a discussion and negotiation, have our attorneys look at it, have their attorneys look at it. We didn't do that at all. So it might be that a large institution, you know, a large university, might engage in contract negotiations. But my suspicion is that in most of these cases, the cloud provider presents itself as we're a service provider to the using organization, and the using organization retains responsibility for these things.
Well, there's also the issue of storing sensitive data in the cloud. How can one embrace the cloud with prudence rather than dismissing it outright due to security concerns? Does one work with legal counsel for guidance?
Yes, I mean, you know, this was just sort of the should that I was saying earlier, which is that these kinds of evaluations and processes should be in place already because every organization already operates under privacy constraints in terms of what it needs to store, how it needs to store it, what it can do with it, how it can dispose of it, so forth and so on. Really, those things should already be in place. What I recommend to organizations is that they make sure they have that in place and then layer on the cloud requirements into that already existing process. So in other words, it's not really appropriate to treat this question as being solely cloud-oriented and that, you know, you only have to worry about it with cloud. You know, every system that a company has operates under certain kinds of data security, data privacy requirements, and it should have something in place already to examine those things. So cloud should not be an afterthought, should not be a separate thing. It should be added on and integrated into the existing processes.
How do we begin to alleviate concerns and questions about the unknown?
Human nature to be more concerned about new risks than about existing risks. So everyone is kind of very attuned to, well, what are the risks with cloud computing? Without necessarily examining or giving proper credence to the risks that are already present with doing computing on site. And here's a perfect example with the privacy things. You know, what I said was you should already have those kinds of processes and policies in place for your internal. Well, I know for a matter of fact that many organizations do not. So that's a risk they're running already that they may find that they don't have the proper safeguards in place for what they're already doing. But in a way, they might not be aware of that risk or might not pay that as much attention to it, or they might discount. When this new thing comes along, they go, oh my God, there's all this risk. I better really pay attention to it. So So I'm not sure that there's any way to completely alleviate, make someone say, oh, this is completely safe, you know, so I don't have to be concerned. When we work with companies, we always sort of talk about a continuum of risk, because there's risk in not taking advantage of the cloud computing as well. There's a lot of benefits it brings to the table. And if you sort of look at it and go, well, I want to be sure to avoid any possible risk, you're also, in effect, saying, and I want to be sure to forego any possible benefit. So we look to examine and balance those things rather than try and come up with an absolute of you're absolutely risk-free or you're absolutely dominated by risk.
Is there anything we're not touching on that we should be talking about, Bernard? Is there anything you'd like to add to the conversation?
We've talked a lot about one side of this issue, you know, the risk side, and there's a reason why people are so interested in cloud computing. You know, we haven't really talked about the benefits and lots of things that cloud computing brings to the table, and that's why organizations are really interested and embracing it. It brings a lot of benefits in terms of being able to put systems in place much more quickly, to be able to scale systems in a way that economically wasn't feasible in the past. And it's important to come to appreciation of what the benefits and the risks are so that you can make a better decision. If you really just focus on, well, let me focus on all the possible risks, you're getting sort of one side of the picture. And it's important to come to a more balanced perspective so that you can make a more informed judgment.